So our scripture reading, I'm just going to start with our scripture reading this morning, comes from Matthew 7. We're just getting into Matthew 7. So we're actually winding down our summer of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we're just starting 7 today, and you can see what our topic is today. So let's get to our scripture, and then we'll discuss what our topic has to say for us. So Matthew 7, beginning at verse 1, and that's on page 5 of the Pew Bibles there, New Testament section of your Pew Bibles. It says, "Judge not." This is Jesus speaking, by the way. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." So our topic this morning is judging, or judging not. It's way up there on the list of commonly quoted verses, right? And it's also way up there on the list of the most commonly misquoted verses. And we'll kind of get to that. But what are some others that you can think of, I guess, that really pop out to you that are popular verses that are misquoted, that really don't mean what people think they mean? Any come to mind? This is definitely way up there. Which we talked about a few weeks ago, right? Yeah, an eye for an eye. It's a good one. No? Just coughing? All right. No others? One of them that kind of came to mind for me was the whole, God won't give you more than you can handle type of thing. But I didn't think about the eye for an eye. That fits very well. That's right. We read it in context, we'll find out. I was thinking, that could be a sermon series almost, writing wronged passages, taken out of there. But it is not this day. It's not going to happen today. We're going to write one of them. We're going to try to anyway. Do you think that Jesus is really telling us not to judge others in this passage? I mean, it's right there. But do you really think that's what this is about? That's a pretty tall task. Don't judge others. But Jesus it's not like he doesn't call us to tall tasks anyway. He doesn't put these things on. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about raising the bar beyond what we're used to or what we read in the law. Jesus says, well, this is what we really mean by that. So he does raise the bar and he does call out tall tasks. He says, but aren't we judging things all day long in just about everything we do? Parents, do you just let anybody hang out with your kids? I see some... Okay, Avery, anybody can hang out. No. No. Why not? Because we want to protect them, and we through that we have to judge whether or not we want these people in our kids' life. What about our lives? Do we just let anybody into our lives? No, because we do the same thing for ourselves that we do for our kids. So we're judging all the time, and Jesus says, judge not. I think there's more to it than that. Is Jesus really telling us that judging others is wrong? And it's really easy to say no, because that's what we want. That's really not what he's saying. But you know what? When I was trying to dig through and find scripture, it's actually kind of difficult to find the scripture that says it's okay to judge others. But Doug, I did. Leviticus 19:15 says, "You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial," that's part of the judgment thing, "to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor." And Proverbs 3:19 says, "Open your mouth, judge righteously. Defend, I can't talk this morning, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." It kind of goes with that Leviticus 1 Corinthians, this is a good one too. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare to go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try the trivial things, trivial cases? He says, or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Who are the saints? I hope it's us. I hope it's you guys. Those are the saints that he's talking about. And he says, and if the world is to be judged by you, and he's telling you the saints, so yes, there's judgment that he does call us to do. Matthew, just a couple more verses from where we're stopping today. Probably in 2 weeks we'll be right here where he says, beware of false prophets. This is Jesus speaking, who come to you in sheep's clothes, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. You will judge them and recognize them by their fruits. And John 7:24 says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. This is why we need to take into account the full measure of Scripture when we're talking about subjects like this. I wasn't ready for that one yet. You know, especially when we're talking about hot topic items, controversial things, you know, stuff. We need to see what the full Word of God says, not just one little passage. Although they are Jesus' words, but he's like, listen to what I'm saying and listen to what I'm meaning. Sometimes what we hear isn't the same thing as what he's meaning. That's what we're going to try and dig into. So what are some ways that we break this command about not judging others? So here's some examples on how we break Jesus' thing about don't judge others. How often do we break it, by the way? A lot, probably. What are some specific ways? Can you think of some? That's what I thought too, Everett. I'm telling you. In our thoughts? Yeah? I can't grow it here. But yes, I think that speaks more about ourselves to ourselves and how we think right there, right? We may not let it out, like, thank you, by the way. No, we may not, you know, let it out, but, you know, especially if you had an upbringing that wasn't all that, you know, I don't want to say politically correct because I am very not that, you know, but there's still some crude stuff from my upbringing that, you know, when people say stuff, this pops in my head, you know, outbursts that my grandfather had, you know, that I really have to put my filter on so it doesn't come out my mouth. And it says something about that. You know, these are the judgments that we make sometimes. I got a list of them from, there's a commentary that I use an awful lot from a guy named David Guzik. He says, we break this command when we think only the worst of others. We break this command when we only speak to others of their faults. We break this command when we judge an entire life only by its worst moments. We break this command when we judge the hidden motives of others. We break this command when we judge others without considering ourselves in their same circumstances. And we break this command when we judge others without being mindful that we ourselves will be judged. And just like most of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, this is about heart issues. Almost from the very beginning of his sermon, it's about heart issues. Where's your heart in this? That's why sometimes if we keep it trapped in here, you know, we're not showing our true heart, but we're also taming our heart, you know, that spirit that we don't really like anymore, where, you know, the old one's dead. If you see what that Jesus, I mean, it would seem that Jesus is issuing a warning in this passage, though. Look at the example he gives with the speck and the log in here, okay? Does it appear that Jesus wants us to leave our friends with that nasty speck in their eye? Yeah, that's what he's saying, right? Yeah, don't worry about their speck. You got a log in your eye. Does he want us to leave that speck in their eye? No. But he wants you to clean up your own stuff first. In this process, of course he wants us to help people. Of course he wants us to bring them back into a right relationship with him. Of course he wants these things. He's like, look at your own life. He tells us to look and take care of our own eye first. I mean, if you've got a friend, a family member, or maybe even just an acquaintance, and this person is living openly in sin, is it our mission to go ahead and leave them living in that life of sin? What would Paul say to that? May it never be. Heaven forbid. No, of course not. It's not what he's saying at all. You know, maybe they're destroying their lives and the lives of their families with their sin. Substance abuse, physical abuse, any other kind of abuse you can think of. Even spiritual abuse. That's not only possible, that's prevalent in some circles today. And of course, it's not our mission to turn the other cheek and let them continue down that destructive path. Why not? Why is that not our mission? Exactly. Love, care, concern. Righteous love, care, and concern. Absolutely. That is at the core of all of this. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this Galatians. Well, actually, it's Paul talking about it, but still. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But he says, keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Who are the best people to try and help people that are having a struggle in their life? Whether it be with a substance abuse or whatever it may be. You know, who are the best people to try and help those people in that situation? People have been there. People have had the same struggles. People they can relate to. But he says, be careful lest you too be tempted. Because putting yourself in that situation, there's that danger. There's that temptation to draw you back into it. He says, take the log out of your own eye. Make sure you're okay with this before you try and fix that speck in your buddy's eye. Lest you too be tempted. How can we recognize their situation if we have not judged or discerned the situation? So, what is the warning from our passage in Matthew 7? It says, make sure you check out your life before going headlong into trying to help correct someone else's. If your friend's a raging alcoholic and you go and preach to him about it because you care so much about him and you get him taken care of, but you tie one on the way home, Jesus would say what? Hypocrite! Or since we're dealing with eyes, since he's saying take the log out of your own eyes, what if you got a buddy that likes, you know, has wandering eyes, as it were, and lustful thoughts, and you help him out through this situation that he's struggling with, you know, but then you've got the same problem, you know? Make sure you're not falling into that temptation. How about this story of a mighty leader who fell for his buddy's wife? Okay? And things got ugly. Got real ugly. Matter of fact, had his buddy killed. And then somebody come up to him and says, hey, just wanted to let you know of a little situation. That there was these two guys, this really rich guy with all this livestock, stole something from this other guy who didn't have a whole lot to begin with because he didn't want to use his own stuff. Didn't want to take from his own livestock. And that leader gets up and he's all angry and he casts down punishment right away. Harsh punishment. What was the next thing that leader probably heard? You're that man. This is David and Bathsheba, or King George and the Ducky, whichever one you guys want here, okay? For the VeggieTales crowd over here, you know? That's exactly what this was all about with David and Bathsheba. When Nathan came to him, not that one, not that Nathan. Hi, yeah. Nathan came to him and says, "You are that man." But how did he, when it was somebody else's life, how did David react? Angrily. Swift, firm justice. And he's like, "You're that guy. Get that plank out of your eye." Another biblical example of this in motion. We can get emotional, we can get angry and self-righteous when it comes to casting judgment on others. But if we aren't careful, you are that man or that woman. Especially if you're looking in the mirror and the stuff that's trapped in your head says it to you. So as I was thinking about this warning and about getting the plank out of our own eye, I couldn't help but think about communion. You know? There's a proper way to take communion, right? Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians. He says, you know, we have to really examine ourselves. So whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Give that moment of self-reflection, that time of saying, am I right with the Lord? Am I okay in my spirit to be taking this bread and this cup? Am I right in my spirit to go help this person in this situation? Am I doing it for the right reason, or am I doing it power play, I guess? But notice here at this bottom, it says, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. That word discerning is the one I want to focus on here. It says, notice that word. It says, that's the theme that comes up over and over and over again in Scripture. Discernment, discerning. Discerning things to be right or wrong. Discerning whether this teaching is true and proper with God's Word. And I'm talking about, like, when I'm up here teaching you, you guys need to discern whether or not I'm being proper in it. I need to be discerning in whether I'm proper in giving it to you. Discernment, we shouldn't just be taking things at face value. Discern things. Understand them. Try them. Try them against God's Word. If things need fixed, we need to fix them. Discern the spirit, our spirit, and the spirit of others. That, once again, goes back to the people that we want to let into our kids' lives or in our lives. We discern their spirits. We need to discern our kids' spirits, too, to say, are they up to this task? We've had to do that lately, you know? Where it's not where we were worried about putting one of our kids in danger of a spirit thing, but, you know, whether they're prepared to help this person, this friend of theirs. So we have to discern things. And that's what Jesus' message is about this morning, is discerning our lives and the lives of others for the good. All of this discernment is for our own good and for the good of those that we love and care for. And for those that we want to know Jesus, or the ones that we want to know Jesus better. Deeper, stronger. And those that we want to help correct their lives and their relationship with God. You know, getting the plank out. So that we can properly help them with that speck. Before I move on, I had a thought about this, you know, just yesterday. So, on this whole judgment thing, can we flip that too? Where we're not only judging the bad things in people's lives? And by that I mean, can we judge things to be good in an improper way? Right? Where it's actually wrong. You know, where we're not trying ourselves, we're not trying and being discerning, and we're like, well, of course this is good. Do you get where I'm going with this? Jesus talks about stuff like that. We see that in Scripture every once in a while too. And when he was talking about the scribes and Pharisees, how he told them that they were more worried about outward appearances. They were, and the outward appearances of others, you know, washing the outside of the cup and not being concerned about the inside of the cup. In other words, as long as they look good on the outside, but, you know, they're not taking care of their insides. And he says, on the inside, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You look all nice and pretty on the outside, but you're full of rot and decay on the inside. So yes, we can have problems like that where we're judging in the wrong way there as well. John 7:24 is what that's about. Don't judge by appearances. Judge with a right judgment. Better yet, Romans 14:22 says, the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. These things that we let into our lives, these things that we say are okay. And he says, blessed's the one that, I guess I'm switching into the blessed thing here. The one that has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves, what he declares okay in his life or in the life of his family and friends. So we need to be careful of all the kinds of discernment that we have for the good and the bad. Discernment, discernment, discernment. Let's get to the hogs and dogs. All right? Jesus says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and attack you. Let's start with the pearls. What are the pearls that Jesus is talking about here?
Us as sinners?
Okay. Valid. Yeah. What else? It's plural. Well, sinners is plural. What are some of these other pearls that it could be that Jesus is talking about? Wisdom? How about the gospel? That's a nice pearl, right? How about time, talent, and treasure and sharing that gospel? Yeah. So these are all these pearls that Jesus is saying, don't throw pearls, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. He's like, don't give these things to the dogs and the hogs. Who are the dogs and hogs? What are the dogs and hogs? What's the easy first answer? Is there one? Okay. People that you're trying to witness to that really don't want to hear it. Yeah. So you could say non-believers, but that takes Jesus' mission for us out of the water, right? Go and make disciples. Of who? Unbelievers. But don't throw your pearls before them. So no, that doesn't fit at all. How about people, non-believers, that you try, there's your time, talent, and treasure on trying to share the gospel with them, but it's only met over and over and over again with vitriol, with hatred, with contempt, with hate even. Remember he says, trample them and turn back and attack you. Yes, this is the kind of folks that he's talking about. How about people that are professing Christians that are living in open sin and don't want to listen to you when you're trying to help them come back into a right relationship with God? Over and over and over again. They're the hogs and dogs. We have to be discerning in this. He says, don't waste your time on them. Does he say never try? Thank you, Bonnie. No. He doesn't say never try. But sooner or later, he's like, you know what? There are other people that need your time, talent, and treasures too. And you've tried and tried and tried and tried, and that doesn't mean you have to like it when he asks you to move on. He didn't say like it. So how do we know when it's time to move on? Discernment. prayer. Discernment of that prayer. And you don't know. Maybe through these time and time and time again, and all that hatred that we got because of it, you could have planted a seed that wasn't yours to nourish. Don't know how many people, how many contacts it'll take for somebody to get the message to where it finally sprouts. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, try. By all means, please try. Heard a story about a guy, a pastor guy, that was getting ready to go to the nursing home to talk to this fellow who he had talked to many, many, many times. Non-believer guy. Okay? But friends. And he tells his associate pastor, he says, hey, I'm getting ready to head out one more time to go talk to whatever his name is. He says, one more time? He goes, I'm giving him one more time. He said, I've tried and tried and tried. He's moving, moving on. He says, doesn't that hurt? Of course it hurts. Jesus doesn't say any of this is easy. Matter of fact, Wednesday night we talked a lot about suffering, didn't we? At our book study for Wednesday night. We talked a lot about suffering. This is part of that suffering that we're called to engage in. Discernment, discernment, discernment. Jesus didn't say, don't try. He said, by all means, try and try and try and try. So you see, we're actually called to judge quite a bit. And if you're getting hung up on that word judge, switch it to discernment. I don't care what you use. Looked it up in a commentary Bible, or a dictionary actually, for that word. The kinos, I think, is the Greek word used here. And there is a whole bunch of words that could have been used besides judgment. Discernment's one of them. Just all of these things. Whatever you want to throw in there, throw in there. But this is what we're talking about. He calls us to it. I like that word discernment better myself anyway. Either way, God will help us on that. He'll lead, guide, and assist in that discernment. Just ask Him. What does He say? Ask and it will be given. Well, we'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Spirit. We thank You for help in discerning these situations in our lives and judging these situations in our lives, that we can have a proper relationship and view of our mission that You have for us. That is to spread Your gospel, Your good news to others. But thank You, thank You, thank You for that reminder that we need to be in a right relationship with You ourselves. Our spirit needs to be right and untainted to properly do this. Help us take that time once in a while for that self-reflection, that time to come to You in humbleness and in prayer to fix whatever we got going on in our lives so that we can effectively help others in theirs. And if that time ever comes where we have to move on, give us that strength, but give us that peace that of knowing that we tried everything we could before we moved on. And still pray for those folks. We still have that care, that concern, just like You did, just like You do, for every one of us and for every one of them. Father, you love us all. That's why You sent Your Son to save each and every one of us, who paid a high price that we may have this eternal relationship with You. Help us see the importance of that and the importance of spreading Your gospel to others. And also the importance of living a life led by You so that others can see that as the example. Father, we ask Your help in this. We ask Your guidance in this. We ask Your Spirit to just dwell in us, fill us, and just show us the way and the opportunities that You have for us. But give us that wisdom as was mentioned this morning. Give us that wisdom to see things for what they are and to see things for what you want them to be. We ask your help in this. We ask your guidance. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.